You know the mood that comes over you when you look at an old family album and see how your parents have changed with time? That's what I felt when I looked at Larry Sultan's family photos. Sultan is a photographer who's been taking pictures of his parents for the last 7 years. He's preparing a book called Pictures from Home. It includes his photos of his parents, old family snapshots, reproduced stills from home movies, and memorabilia from his father's career. Some of the photos and Sultan's accompanying text are part of a group show currently at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. The show is called California Photography, Remaking Make-Believe. This is Sultan's most autobiographical narrative project. I asked him why he turned in that direction.
My previous work dealt with either the context of billboards or books, but in a more generalized way. And at the time, this was, I guess, 1981. I was 35 years old. And there were things going on in my life that I wanted to be able to work with. My longing for, I think, the dream of family and intimacy, and also the problem that I think that artwork was getting for me to lose its significance. And so I felt that if I deal with something very specific to my life, my daily life, it would address those issues, the longing and the conflict I was feeling about my particular life at that point.
Were you single and wondering about family or something
very
like that?
Very much so. Uh-huh. Very much so. Uh-huh. At that time, I was, I wasn't alone, but I was living alone. And my life appeared very differently than the visions I had of it. And certainly very different than what my parents had. And I guess I was at that age where I look in the back of the books to see who was doing what at what age. And
right.
Measuring my chronological age with theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of doing that, I was thinking, you know, my father at 35, he had two children, and he had just left New York on a one-way train ride to California to make a life. And so I was comparing myself and asking myself questions about what my dreams were, and very concerned with what I felt was the loss of the American dream of security and there were certain things missing in my life that I felt a great longing for.
Well, for your project Pictures from Home, you not only took a lot of new pictures of your parents and their house, but you used a lot of old family photos. So this required you going back and looking at lots of old pictures of your family. Did you find in a lot of the old photos that there was an almost ritualistic quality? Pictures taken at parties, at vacations, at certain points in one's life when one is supposed to take pictures?
Yes, but I think you're right. They were not only ritualistic. I saw them as mythic pictures, and they weren't family snapshots. They were movies, and they were 8mm films that mm-hmm. began in 1942 and I think spanned 20 years. And I remember looking at these films and not only seeing them from a biographical point of view, like, oh, this was me when I was, you know, 3 or 5 or 7. But taking them out of that personal context and seeing them as these incredible myths of almost an epic of American family moving from back east to the promise of the new life in the West. And when I took particular stills from those films, I think that mythic quality was even further enhanced. And so they're not only biographical, I see them as cultural artifacts as well.
Can you tell me about the range of emotions that you experienced looking back at pictures of your parents when they were young?
Hmm. Boy, that's interesting because there's this phenomena where there's a double vision. All photographs, in a sense, are historical because the moment is gone. And so here I am looking at people who are actually younger than me. And seeing that they had a life outside of me. You know, they're not only my parents, they had this independent existence, which is a fairly frightening notion, and it leads you to all kinds of speculation that one doesn't want to get into, you know, about their intimate life. And so that was an interesting thing, to see them independently, and then to also see, I think, the melancholy I felt around the aging process, how certainly the vitality of my parents and I mean, it's inevitable the body changes, and It's not a sad phenomena as much as it is an opportunity to watch this transformation of the body through time.
There's an old picture of you as a boy, and it's a picture actually from the present, because it's a photograph that's framed, I think, on a night table or on a living room table, I don't remember which. And it's a photo of you and your brother kind of sitting one right behind the other, wearing matching checked shirts. And this is a pose that I recognize everybody has, a photo like this.
Yes, right.
And it's taken by the neighborhood professional photographer, no doubt.
Exactly.
Did this photo, in the context of your project, make you think about what it's like to face yourself frozen in time every day as you get older?
No. You know, I guess because I'm a photographer, I get immune to this sense of seeing photography, you know, oneself frozen in time. I think I've thought about that much more with this project because of the dilemma of photographing people you love and taking them out of time. And I think that to me is one of the hardest parts of this project, has been recognizing that a photograph, no matter how hopefully rich that picture is, it really reduces somebody from certainly their animated spirit to this frozen moment, but also the dimension of their personality is lost. So no matter how well it's enshrined and how wonderfully the picture might be, there's always a sense of loss, and that's affected me in my project a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to old photographs, you also have some old documents in your piece. Letters, for instance, welcoming your father into the Eversharp family when he started to sell razor blades. Why did you include some of these old documents, old business letters and things like that, and where did you find them?
Well, it was very important to include those because what I felt I was doing, and I think what I've done, is try to create a pattern of public life and private life, of family and business, of success and perhaps conflict within the family. And so my father's business documents, to me, they not only document his career, I think they really, in a way, indicate a time. I mean, welcome to the Eversharp family, and mm-hmm. you're a team player. And I mean, it was the sense of the 50s that was so full of that optimism and so full of that hope that one would enter a family and be taken care of and be part of a team and be a team player and believe in the product and blah, blah, blah. You know, it goes on. And it's a phenomenal record, not only of that specific event in his life, but I think of a time that's no longer available to us. So that's interesting to me, about how you can document a time through a very biographical, personal point of departure.
Now, you've had to take a lot of new photos of your parents for your project. Your parents, I'm sure, are used to smiling for photographs, and you tried to get candid shots. I think you, in fact, told them not to smile. What were their reactions to the kinds of photographs you wanted?
Well, you know, I became a real pain. I worked in this for 7 years, and I really strained my parents' generosity. In the beginning, I think it was, you know, I would follow them around. In fact, I went on vacation with them to Hawaii and photographed them. And then as they got more and more accustomed to me being around, I'd follow them into their bedroom. And after a while, they, in terms of the daily photographs in which they weren't necessarily conscious or posing, although there's always somewhat of a pose, that was fine. I think the problem really occurred when we would set up a photograph, and some of the photographs are staged, and there was always this dilemma. My father has a standard, I think, successful businessman pose that he's been practicing for years. You know, this kind of steely looked, and you know, look him in the eye and rigid body. And in fact, I think he'd cock his head looking off to the left into the future. And that's not what I wanted. And there was quite a disagreement about that. And in fact, part of the book is his response to my photographs and his response to the way I photograph and the way I represent him. which I think is a real crucial part of this work, because I have no, I wouldn't presume that I'm telling the truth. I'm telling my version of the truth, but it's not the objective version. There is no objective version.
Your father said to you that he doesn't like what you call introspection. When he sees one of those photos, he says, for the most part, that's not me I recognize in those photos.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, how we know ourselves. We have this repertoire of selves. I guess Roland Barthes calls it a repertoire of selves. And I see my father, the side of my father that interests me the most is that vulnerable, introspective side. Now, that's not a side that comes out very often, and it's certainly not a side that one shows to the public. And perhaps, to be fair, there is a somewhat of a lost look in one of those photographs, and that was important to me. And maybe I'm being accurate to my point of view and not so accurate to him, so he could be right. Maybe that isn't him he recognizes. Maybe that's more me.
Did you say a lost look?
Yes, a look that has a taste of melancholy to it.
Let me describe a photo that I think is exactly that, or at least that's how I read it. And it's a photo of your father all dressed up in a dinner jacket, and it looks like he's probably on the way out. But he's sitting on the bed, just kind of looking off in this dinner jacket. And to me, it reads all dressed up for a kind of letdown.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that photo a lot.
Yeah, he hates it.
Oh, really?
He absolutely
hates it. How come?
Well, because he says that he created the analogy that it was like having doing a film and the actors are taking a break, and that's when you photograph them. And we were actually, I asked him to get dressed up, and we were doing he was writing on the wall for me, kind of a mock Dale Carnegie program, and he sat down on the bed just to rest. And you're right, it is all dressed up with nowhere to go, in my mind. And that's an ideological photograph. It relates, in my point of view, to, I think, memory and one looking back on their life. Maybe most of the challenges have been in the past, at least in terms of one's business life. And so, yeah, it's taken out of context. It's a fiction.
Another photo I have to ask you about. There's a picture at the kitchen table in your parents' house. Your father is seated at the kitchen table. His eyeglasses are on the table. And he I think he's entering something onto his calendar. And your mother has just come in. The grocery bag is on the table. And she's unpacking it. I recognize this photo. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I could say that a lot of the photos that you've taken. This seems to me the kind of shot that is almost a daily ritual, but it's not the kind of ritual we think of photographing.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're all engaged in those rituals of coming home from the market and wondering, well, did you use the coupons and
right.
Talking about discounts and... I mean, it's the daily thing that interests me. It's the familiar that I think is so phenomenally rich with innuendo and, I guess, the aroma of daily life. I think that that's where we live our life, right? We don't go out to these great, huge events. We live our life, you know, walking up the street and coming in the house and setting down our coat and unpacking groceries. And that's the sight that I'm most interested in.
I want to quote something that you write toward the end here. You say, "Behind all the peering, the good pictures, the rows of film, and the anxiety of my project is the wish to take photography literally, to stop time. I want my parents to live forever." I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. There was something that happened to me in the middle of this project that I think was very significant. And, you know, when I begin work, I have really no idea where I'm going to go, but I need to think that I know where I'm going to go, and so I invent all these notions that what I'm doing is sociological or whatever. And in the middle of this project, I had a photograph that I had made that was particularly moving to me. It was a close-up of my father as he was sleeping on a couch taking a nap in Palm Springs. And I looked at the picture on my desk, and it struck me that there's a chance that this picture will outlive my father, that I'll be looking at this picture one day when... when perhaps he's not here. And it really changed my whole notion of what I was doing. I moved from the sociological drop way down to the sense that I was making pictures that came from, I think, a need to not only understand my parents, but to let them go in a certain fashion. Almost like an adolescent lets things go. I'm a late bloomer in that sense. So from that, of course, photography does stop time. And it's an exterior form of memory. This existed. I mean, that's its greatest truth, is to leave a trace of what has been.
I want to get back to where we started at the very beginning, which was your longing for family, but you're still mixed emotions about it.
Well,
where do we leave off?
Well, see, I've changed greatly. When I began this project, I was single and living alone, and I had a great many questions about family and relationship. Certainly, Reagan had appropriated the family for the most ideological uses, and so I had a lot of mixed feelings. It's interesting, since this project, I've gotten married to a wonderful woman, and we have a one-year-old son, and so there's been a evolution not only in terms of my understanding of my family and my past, but also in terms of my own life.
And are you taking a lot of pictures of your baby?
Well, of course, but I hope that I hope never to use them in my artwork. I'm taking the kind of pictures that people have said, gee, I hope he doesn't see these pictures in 15 years.
Why wouldn't you use those pictures in your artwork? After all, you made your parents into your art project.
Well,
is this a double standard?
Yes. No, I think that doing this work has raised a lot of issues about how photography uses the subject. And I'm interested in going on, but I think for my next work I would prefer to invent my own subject, a fiction. Even though the photographs might be not fictional, I think the protagonist would not be real, would not be a real person, but someone created more like a writer would create a protagonist out of different characters. I think it's a little, it's a tough one to use people that you love in photographs that talk about all the ambivalence one has about a time and a culture.
Larry Sultan, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.